Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It is another busy day on Capitol Hill with confirmation hearings for President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet nominees.
So let's get right to that with the Senate Armed Services Committee hearing for retired Marine General James Mattis, Donald Trump's choice for Secretary of Defense. If confirmed, he could be the first career military officer to head the Pentagon since the 1950s. Mattis told the committee he doesn't believe the American military is robust enough right now to confront all the threats it faces. Here's an exchange with committee chair, the Republican John McCain.
I think deterrence is critical right now, sir. Absolutely, and that requires the strongest military.
Do you think we have a strong enough military today in order to achieve that goal?
No, sir.
Well, Phil Ewing is NPR's national security editor. He's been watching all of this. And Phil, did General Mattis have suggestions about how to beef up deterrence?
He did. He talked about a point that military leaders have made very often for the past several years, which is that restrictions Congress has put in place about spending in Washington constrain what the military is able to do in terms of buying equipment, but especially maintain what it calls readiness, the amount of bullets that soldiers can shoot on a range before they have to deploy, the number of miles you can drive in your tank before you actually have to go overseas, things like that. And what Mattis and other people in his world have complained about is that has fallen down since the peak of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And to be an effective deterrent force, as you heard him say in that clip, he views it necessary for it to get back there.
And how did, speaking of possible threats, how did Russia come up? Here's Mattis speaking a little on that topic.
I think right now the most important thing is that we recognize the reality of what we deal with Mr. Putin, and we recognize that he is trying to break the North Atlantic Alliance, and that we take the steps, the integrated steps, to defend ourselves where we must.
And Mattis is saying the U.S. Will need to work with NATO, not something Donald Trump said as a candidate. So talk about that gap being bridged.
That's a big gap, and that'll be one of the big themes to watch as Mattis and the other national security leaders in the Trump administration are confirmed and take their jobs. The positions they've outlined in their hearings this week and also in the comments before are separate from those that Trump had when he was a candidate before his election, and specifically NATO is one. The relationship between the U.S. and Russia is another. Mattis talked today about how NATO is so critical that if it didn't exist, we might have to invent it, and he made it sound as though, as Secretary of Defense, he will continue to support some of the movements that are already in process to send more military equipment to Europe, to send more American troops to Europe, and potentially even base them there permanently. He had an exchange with the committee chairman, Senator McCain, in which McCain said this isn't just an issue of sending them for 6 months or a few weeks at a time for exercises. Some Baltic states want American or NATO military bases there, full bases, and Mattis appeared to indicate that he could get behind something like that. The real question is, given the overtures that President-elect Trump has made to Russia and with Russia's President Vladimir Putin, will they conflict behind the scenes, or will Mattis and other advisors at his level be able to bring Trump around to their positions? And right now, I don't think anyone knows the answer to that question.
Well, I was wondering too, Phil Ewing, was this surprising to you or others that Mattis was contradicting Donald Trump?
It isn't a surprise because Mattis's record on a lot of these issues is very clear. And one reason he had such a warm reception in the Senate today and had such a mostly congenial session there in his confirmation hearing is because of how familiar he is to those lawmakers. He was a Marine Corps general and combatant commander for many years. He's well known to people in the national security world, people in Congress. And so the views that he holds about a lot of these issues are quite familiar. He told senators today that he didn't think Trump would have appointed him and he wouldn't have accepted the nomination if he didn't believe Trump would be receptive to what he called his input on these matters, on foreign policy, on national security, and the role of the intelligence agencies inside the government.
Well, he was also asked about fighting ISIS. Here he is responding to a question from the Iowa Republican, Joni Ernst.
We have to deliver a very hard blow against ISIS in the Middle East so that there's no sense of invulnerability or invincibility there. There's got to be a military defeat of them there. But it must, as you point out, be a much broader approach. This requires an integrated strategy.
Did he define that?
He didn't define it exactly, except to say in a couple of other occasions that he wanted it to be more aggressive, to be more energized, and for the U.S. generally to do more than it's doing today in these twin wars against ISIS in Iraq and Syria. For critics like Trump and Republicans in Congress, they argue that President Obama, as he's waged this conflict, has done only the minimum possible in terms of supporting troops, supplying them with weapons, providing airstrikes, and giving logistical support to these forces on the ground. They want a much stronger U.S. effort to try and bring this campaign to a conclusion sooner. The Obama administration's argument has always been, we don't want American forces in danger. We don't want American troops fighting again for territory they already conquered in the most recent Iraq war, and that it makes the most sense to have these indigenous forces in both countries doing that.
We want to get one last exchange in. Here's Senator Kirsten Gillibrand pressing Mattis on issues like women in combat and members of the LGBT community in the military.
Senator, my belief is that we have to stay focused on a military that's so lethal that on the battlefield it will be the enemy's longest day and their worst day when they run into that force.
Do you believe that allowing LGBT Americans to serve in the military or women in combat is undermining our lethality?
Frankly, Senator, I've never cared much about two consenting adults and who they go to bed with.
And I thought we'd just leave that without comment. That's retired Marine General James Mattis at his hearing today. We've been hearing about it from Phil Ewing, NPR's national security editor. Phil, thanks.
Thank you.